All right, Luke chapter number 19, the verse that I want to focus on is verse number 10. And so I see this verse in a way that probably some of you guys may or may not see it, you know, but in verse 10 it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That which was lost. And the title of my sermon is Islam, the Religion of the Lost. Islam, the Religion of the Lost. And of course, you could be saying right now, well, Brother Segura, every false religion is the religion of the lost. That is absolutely true. But I don't know about you, how much you experience talking to Muslims, but one thing that I've noticed, out of all the false religions out there, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, I mean, you name it, Seventh-day Adventists, I think I've had just about every religion, more than probably 40 or more percent of their people out at the door or just co-workers, tell me when I ask them, hey, I know you're such and such religion, but if you die right now, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? And they tend to say yes, about 40% of them. Catholics, I know for sure because I was one of them. When somebody asked me that question, that's what I thought. Yeah, I think I'll be in heaven. And I don't know about you, but when you go out knocking doors, you're going to notice that with Catholics. You're going to notice that with just about every false religion. But one religion that seems to always tell me no are those that follow Islam. They always seem to tell me no. And so what I mean by Islam, I'm talking about those that follow the faith of the Muslims, or Islam is basically based on the words and religious teachings of the Prophet Muhammad as taught by the Quran. Lessons found in the Quran, which is their principal book that they use to determine right and wrong and what they believe in regards to God or what they refer to as Allah. But this sermon is not going to be about the Quran. Pastor has preached good sermons about the Quran. You can find them on the internet. Go to our website and you can find those. But I just want to talk about my experience in Muslim countries. And this is what I found so far as the recent stats when it comes to Islam. Supposedly now, it's a population of almost 1.9 billion followers. Last time I checked, it was just a billion. Now it's 1.9 billion as of 2020. And Muslims comprise about 25% of the world's total population. In descending order, the percentage of people who identify as Muslims on each continent stands as the follows. 45% of those in the African continent consider themselves to be Muslim. 25% of Asia and Oceania consider themselves to be Muslim. About 6% of Europeans consider themselves to be Muslim. 1% of the Americas considers themselves to be Muslim. 90% of Central Asia and Southeast Asia. I mean, it's a lot. The percentage is very, very high. But just a quick question for those that are here. Does anybody know what country has the largest Muslim population as of 2023? What is it? Indonesia. Mauritius, never heard of it, but no, it's not those. Pakistan. Pakistan is the one that supposedly has the most populations of Muslims, and apparently Pakistan is known as the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. And that's a country in Southeast Asia. It's the world's fifth most populous country with a population of 241.5 million people and supposedly has the world's largest Muslim population as of 2023. So with an estimated 240 million of their population consider themselves to be Muslim out of 249 million. So over 90% of that country considers themselves to be Muslim. So how did my experience with the Muslim world begin? I guess it really began back in March of 2003. Who knows what the U.S. was doing in March of 2003 in another country? What were they up to? Exactly. They were in war with Iraq. So as a baby Christian, that's where I found myself. I found myself in my first Muslim country, which was Iraq. So for those of you that don't know, I was in the military. I served 4 years, got out. 90 days later, they called me back in. The day I reported back in, that's the day that somebody came and gave me the gospel. It was Pastor Azzarello from Redwood Baptist Church in Northern California. I just happened to be on his property because my cousin cleaned the building, and I went to pick up her kids, and he was in his office, and he cared about me. He got out, walked across the parking lot, came up to me and asked me what I need. I said, oh, I'm just waiting for my cousin. He's like, hey, you know what, you in the military? I'm like, yes, because I have my Marine uniform. I reported in my Marine uniform. So then he invited me to church. I'm like, yeah, I already go to church. He said, where do you go? Well, I go to the Catholic church, you know, down in my city, even though I didn't. You know, I just said that. And he said, well, listen, I'd like to invite you to church. You know, it's like, oh, but he also said, more important, young man, you know, than going to church is make sure you go to heaven. If you die right now, you know for sure you're going to heaven. And I said, yes, but honestly, when I said it, immediately I knew that it wasn't true. It just came out because it just came out. And so, of course, I'm glad he didn't stop there. And he asked me, well, why is that? Well, I gave all the wrong answers. You know, because I'm baptized. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I even said I got the Pope. I literally said that. And then he's looking at me. Pastor's real looking at me with a Bible. And he's saying, okay. And I'm thinking, man, you know, I could tell that he's looking for something else. I'm like, well, I'm a Marine. I'm sure if I go overseas and die for my country, I'm sure God will let me into heaven. You know, well, he didn't go to, you know, John 5:13 or anything. He just said, well, can I show you what the Bible says? And I said, yes, because I was thinking about death, especially when they recall you back and they don't tell you what it's for. And your MOS happens to be a combat MOS. And everybody's like, hey, we don't know what's going on, but our unit hasn't been activated in over 10 years. So just prepare for the worst and hope for the best. So, of course, what do you think I'm thinking? This got to be war or something. So not just that, we knew that something was going on with Iraq before I got out. So lo and behold, a year later after training, I found myself in Iraq on the way to Baghdad to take out Saddam Hussein. And I feel good about it because it was called Operation Iraqi Freedom. So I was like, wow, I'm fighting for someone's freedom, not American freedom. But nevertheless, as a Marine, I actually joined because I wanted to fight for something good. I wanted to defend America. I wanted to do something good with my life. I loved America. I thought it was a great country. My parents are from Mexico. So, of course, I thought America was a very good country compared to where my parents came from. So I wanted to do something to kind of give back to the American people. And I thought I was doing the right thing by joining the military and defending American freedoms. And, of course, when we went into Iraq, I'm like, hey, America, anyone, I don't care. I'll fight for whoever's freedom. So I'm thinking, okay, let's take out Saddam. Let's take him out. And sure enough, make this country a whole lot better. But then I quickly realized as time went on and I looked at the scriptures and I started to study the matter, the problem wasn't Saddam Hussein, the problem was Islam. Amen. That was the problem. Why? Because it's a false religion, bottom line. That's what it is. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about those people, because I do. And why? Because when you see it firsthand, it affects you. You know, if you have your Bible, go ahead and go to Matthew 9:35. Matthew 9:35, and sometimes when I read Matthew 9:35, I do think of those days when I was in Iraq, going through the desert, going from village to village, looking for weapons, trying to find bad guys, quote unquote, on my way to Baghdad to find Saddam Hussein, take him out, and obviously bring freedom to the Iraqi people. I thought it was a great cause. You know, but what happened was simple. It was like, man, at that point I was saved. At that point I wasn't even considering myself to be a Christian. But Pastor Zorla got me saved, and all he did, all he had time for was just to say, hey, thank you for listening to me. Let me give you a Bible. Gives me a Bible. The next day, I'm going back into the military. By Friday, I ended up moving from Northern California to Southern California. And so I didn't have church. I didn't have anybody disciple me. Just the Holy Spirit and the Bible. Amen? Amen. And unfortunately, I didn't read the Bible. But I had the Holy Spirit. So he was guiding me. And I don't know, but everywhere I went, all I wanted to do was tell people that eternal life was a gift. I didn't know any other verses, but I knew the Bible said that the gift of God was eternal life, and it was through Jesus. And every opportunity I had, I would just try to bring it up to see if other people believed it. And if not, I wanted to tell them, because I was happy somebody told me. That's what converted me. That's what blew me away. So I was excited to be able to say, hey, you know what? I know I'm going to heaven. But you know what? Before that, I was lost, and that was not a good feel. I didn't know whether we would go to heaven or hell, and it's a terrible, terrible place to be where you don't know what's going to happen to you after death. But now things are different. Now I look forward to death. Now I know where I'm going to be. And I'm pretty sure everyone here feels the same way. Well, yes, we want to live to be 120, amen, and do as much for the Lord as possible. But, hey, we can't wait to see Jesus, right? Amen. That's just facts. But, hey, Islam, they have no peace. They are truly lost. They won't. In fact, I'll get into a story of what happened to me yesterday. But at the end of the day, you know, they are truly, if any religion is the religion of the lost, meaning that they don't know where they're going. I mean, you're running to Mormons, and having Mormons told you I was soul winning, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven if I die right now. You ask them why? Because of Jesus, because they believe in Jesus, but that's not what they really believe. They have a different Jesus. Catholics, many Catholics. Who had a Catholic say, oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven? I know I have. How about this? Jehovah's Witnesses? Yeah, I'm saved. If I die right now, I'm saved. I'm good. I'm not talking about going to heaven because they don't believe they'll go to heaven. But they have told me, yeah, I'm saved. I know if I die right now, I'm saved. Okay, well, what do you believe it takes to be saved? Oh, I don't want to talk about it right now. And we can give some information. No, I can't accept it. I can't receive it. You know, thank you for your time. You have a great day. That's what they do, don't they? Yep. But I don't know. Just quick test. Who has asked a Muslim, do you know for sure where you're going? And what did they say? Well, yesterday I went to Little Africa, and I don't know if you ever heard of Pastor Anderson preach about Little Africa, but it's immigrants from Africa. And what they are is they're primarily Muslim. So I go there because I wanted to kind of have it fresh, you know, like, hey, I got some fresh evidence that the majority has no clue. So I go to the basketball court, this kid's playing basketball, and I'm like, hey, I got one right now. But as soon as I park, sure enough, Muslims everywhere, they got the outfit, the ladies have the outfit, the little girls have the outfit, they're walking around. So I figured, let me start with this dude at the basketball court, see what's up with him. So I go up to him, and it was a 14-year-old kid, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? My name is Chris, I'm a Faithful Word Baptist, just invited people to church. And it's like, do you go to church anymore? Oh, a Muslim. So I got a question for you. If you die right now, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Guess what he said? Yes, I am. So I'm like, well, there goes my point. There goes my sermon. Toss it out the window, now it's no good. So I'm like, really? So I'm like, man, what in the world? I'm like, well, why is that? Well, because I do good, and I obey God, and I love God. And while I'm talking to him, his buddies start walking towards me. And I see one kid, two kids, three kids. Before you know it, I got seven other kids just standing around listening to me talk. He's like, hey, how you guys doing? He's like, hey, I introduced myself, and I asked them if they go to church. They all said we're Muslim, every single one of them. Well, then I did the test again. And I said, well, if you die right now, where are you going to go? Well, I don't know. How about you? I don't want to talk about it. How about you? Don't know. How about you? Don't know. I'm like, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven of you guys. None of you guys know, but he says he knows. And guess what they said? Well, he's not lying. He just doesn't understand. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's a young kid, you know, so he hasn't done that much wrong, and he doesn't really understand wrong, and he's under his parents. I've never heard this stuff before. So they had like a little leader, the guy who was kind of in charge doing all the talking for everybody else. So then he's telling me everything that I need to know about it. So I'm like, well, what's up with him? He says he's confident. He says he knows for sure he's going. So you guys say, none of you guys say that you're going. So who's right? Who's wrong? What's up? Well, we're not saying he's lying. We're just saying that he doesn't fully understand. You know, I study the Quran. I know it very well. And I'm telling right now that if you say that you know for sure you're going to heaven, hey, that's against Islam. So what's up with him? He doesn't really know really what the book says. But basically, yeah, maybe he would because he's too innocent. And if he were to die, God will let him go because he hasn't done that much bad. So he probably would go. But we're old enough to understand right and wrong more than him. He's only 14. And that guy's like, hey, how old are you? 14. Yeah, he's too young. So he would get a pass. But hey, us, we're older, we understand sin more. None of us. If you say that you know for sure, you are wrong. That is not what Muslims believe. You will not know until after you die and you get judged, etc., etc., etc. So then I was thinking, okay, cool. Now it looks like I am right. They truly are the religion of the lost. So when it came to where did I go, I guess it all started with a guy named Sam last year in December in 2022. Get an email from a guy named Sam. And he wasn't asking for much. He just wanted to kind of thank Pastor Anderson for preaching hard. He came across Pastor Anderson, and he's like, hey, Pastor Anderson, if you ever come to my country and you have a soul-winning marathon, let me know. I'll be happy to participate in it. And so I just thought, well, you know, where's this dude from? So then I emailed him, and then I went soul-winning, and then he emailed me back. So then he said, hey, you know what? I want to talk to you. I'm like, sure, I'm willing to talk. And it was around 1 o'clock p.m. And so I say, all right, we can do Facebook or whatever. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. So he ended up talking. I forgot what I used. I think it was, I don't remember which platform I used, so I ended up messaging him. He messaged me back. And so this guy said, my name is Sam. I am from Pakistan. I am from Pakistan. I'm from this Christian slums in Karachi, and I would love if you guys come down here to join you on a soul winning. So I was interested in it just because I always had this thing where I was in Iraq for so long, and I never did anything as a Christian. I knew eternal life was a gift. I knew the gospel, but I couldn't give it to anyone because of security reasons or whatever the case may have been. So it's kind of like I felt like, man, I had an opportunity. It just feels bad that I didn't do anything with it. And who knows, God, maybe you can help me kind of make up for what I didn't do. And when he brought up Pakistan, and obviously Pakistan, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that they're the Republic, the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, 240 plus Muslims. So I'm thinking, how in the world are you surviving Pakistan? So then I talked to him, kind of wanted to get a feel for him because you know what? I kind of thought, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a possibility that he can't come here, but maybe we can go there. And even though I don't know him that well, go to Acts 10:1. Hey, he was of the right spirit. He said he saw Pastor Anderson's documentaries. He was on board. But that doesn't mean that I know for sure this guy is saved. We do get emails a lot from pastors that want to pair up with us, but they don't mention any of the preaching. They don't talk about documentaries. I don't know how they got our email, but they just want money. They need help. They show us pictures of children that are poor, and they're like, hey, we need money to feed these children. But Sam wasn't like that. Sam was just saying, hey, you guys are doing a great job. I'd like to join you if you come to this part of town. But like Pastor said, when we think of missions, we're thinking of a place that, A, is easy to get to, is safe, and they speak English. So, of course, I'm thinking, man, I don't know about this one. So when I spoke to Sam face-to-face, he's like, hey, listen, if you come over here, my church loves missionaries. They'll be more than happy to put you behind the pulpit, and you could talk to everyone and say whatever you want. And if you come, I probably can get you about 200 people. I wouldn't be surprised if even 500 people come, because all these pastors, they love missionaries, and they push hard when somebody from America comes, and people kind of get guilt-tripping to come into church, because if they don't, they're not right with God, because they're not supporting the man of God. So they love to do that to their people. And so I'm just talking to Sam, and I'm thinking, well, man, it's a possibility. Let me just think about it. I don't mind bringing it up to Pastor. And then later on, me and Pastor start talking about this missions conference. And he's like, hey, listen, I want to talk to you about the missions conference. I'm like, okay, no problem. I want to have another one this year. I'm like, okay, cool. Sounds great. And he's like, this is what I'm thinking. This pastor can preach about this. This pastor can preach about that. And so he's like, what do you think? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And then he's like, well, is there any places that you're thinking that maybe you should go and check out? And so I'm thinking, well, there's this one place. What is it? It's Pakistan. He's like, Pakistan? No way. Because he's thinking that's the opposite of what we're going to do at the missions conference. And I just said, the only reason is because there's one guy down there, and I kind of want to encourage him. He says that he goes to a church, but obviously it's not like our church. Like Pastor said, hey, there's a lot of Christians that go to church, but they're not like our type of churches. Very watered down, and that's why he supplements what he's listening to with preaching from this church so he can grow a little faster. And so the reason I thought, well, I don't know, how bad could it be to visit this guy? I mean, maybe he isn't saved, but then I was thinking of Cornelius. So you're right there in Acts chapter number 10. Let's just quickly look at that story one more time. And I was thinking, worst case scenario, Sam, is, if he's not saved, he's a Cornelius. I mean, he's on our side, he's praying to the Lord, he's doing his thing. And we see right there in Scripture that that is a possibility. Those people are out there, you know, that pray and even fast, but let's just face it, they're missing something. They're missing something. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I can just go down there. He says that, hey, it's dangerous. You can't do door-to-door. But, hey, he says he can put me behind a pulpit. He can talk to a few pastors. He thinks that they all will agree. So then pastor starts thinking about it. He's like, yeah, you know what? I'm not still 100% on board. But you know what? If you can turn this thing into a preaching tour, then that is something that I'll be open to. Because if you can get people to let you preach, and not just that, but if they have about 100 people in each service, and even Sam said about 25% speak English, because Sam spoke perfect English. The pastor speak good English. He says, well, that's about 25 people per service that you can minister and just preach the gospel and just go from church to church. And I was thinking, hey, if they're crazy enough to let me preach, I'm crazy enough to do it, amen? And Pastor Bulger can testify, we did this in South Africa. You know, he had Sunday mornings only, and he's like, hey, you want me to call some people and see if they'll let you preach behind the pulpit? I don't think they're safe. And I'm like, hey, if they're crazy enough to let me do it, I'll bring my team, and I'll preach the best gospel presentation that I can. Afterwards, we'll just go up to individuals and see if they're saved or not and try to get them saved. So that was the game plan, not traditional door-to-door going to the parks or what we usually do with these mission trips. But, hey, we're thinking, amen? Pastor's like, hey, I'm open to save anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere, but this one seems a little too dangerous. This is new to me. But he was open to do it. He was open to do it, and it's like, Pakistan, I don't know, it's kind of crazy. So he said, hey, you know what? If the guy says he can get you these preaching appointments and they're willing to put you behind a pulpit and you think about 25% of them are going to understand you, that's a decent crowd, I'm open to it. Hey, go ahead and start doing some research and get back with me. So I'm like, okay, no problem. Now I got to find somebody to go with me, amen? Like, who's crazy enough to go with me to Pakistan? You know, it's all Muslim. It's not legal to go preaching door to door. You're probably going to get killed if you try it. You can't really take much with you. You kind of have to go there, and hopefully whatever's on your phone is good enough to give the gospel with. So I'm, like, researching now. So I had to recruit someone. So I'm thinking, who would be crazy enough to go with me? Who would do it? Well, I don't know if you know this guy, but his name is Dustin, and I took him to South Africa. At first, he's thinking, man, I don't want to go to South Africa. I'm very white. I'm going to get killed down there. I'm like, no, man, just trust the system. Pastor Borger will take care of you. So then, sure enough, I finally convinced him to go to South Africa with us, and he did a great job. He did a great job soul winning. He enjoyed it. He thanked me for taking him to South Africa. He's like, hey, man, let's do this again. I can't believe you got me to come to South Africa. I was really scared, because when we go to South Africa, we go to the slums. We go to the danger zone. We get to see a part of South Africa you will not see unless you have Pastor Borger backing you up and taking you everywhere. and telling you to duck when it's time to duck so they don't see your face. He's that type of dude. He knows when the danger's coming. He's like, hey, hide. And in the words of Caleb, who knows Brother Caleb? Is he here? Hey, Brother Caleb at Kenosha said, man, this is the first missions trip when we were in South Africa that I actually felt I was going to die. I thought we're going to get killed for sure. Where's Pastor Borgard taking us? And I'm not trying to scare people from going to South Africa, but that's the danger is there, but we try to minimize it. You know, it's like, hey, the first time we went soul winning, the last time we went to South Africa, these two clowns decided to use us as human shields and block the store, and they went in there and robbed it. Because we were all outside standing around getting ready to go soul winning. Next thing you know, people are screaming, and it's like, what happened? Oh, this place got robbed by gunpoint. And it's like, hey, what can you do? We try to minimize it, but the danger's there. But God will protect you if you're there for the right reasons. Amen? Hey, we didn't get hurt. So then, of course, it is what it is. I'm talking to Sam. Pastor's open to it. I'm talking to Dustin. And Dustin's like, man, I thought you were trying to kill me when you were taking me to South Africa. Now you want to take me to Pakistan? And he's like, well, you know what, man? I'm down. Let's do this. Why not? What's the worst that can happen? We die and go to heaven? We're like, hey, that's the attitude I need. So I'm like, all right, no problem. Let's do this. He's like, yeah, you know, Pastor is going to basically get with me later, and we'll talk to him more about it. And so while I'm planning with Dustin, you know, it is what it is. Pastor calls me, and I'm like, hey, Pastor's on the phone. Just hang up. Or hold up. Let me get with him. I'll call you back. So I end up hanging up. So Pastor ends up calling me, and I pick up, and Pastor's just like, hey, just want to let you know that I spoke to Pastor Jimenez. I don't know where he's at. There he is. He's out. Spoke to Pastor Jimenez, and he can't go to the UAE. So I'm like, okay. Well, thanks for letting me know. And we're still researching Pakistan, so we'll give you the heads up as soon as we find out what's going on. All right, no problem. This is the part I didn't tell you. While I was talking to Pastor planning this missions conference, he's like, you know what I really want to do after we spoke about Pakistan? I really want someone to go to the UAE. Not the WWE, but the UAE. And if you don't know what the UAE is, I'll just mention a couple of cities that are at the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, and that's Dubai and Abu Dhabi. Who's heard of those cities? Well, it was what it was. Pastor's like, you know what? I'm going to see if Pastor Jimenez can go to Abu Dhabi. And so I'm like, wow, that's going to be cool. You know, it's like, there's no way he's going to say no to that. Well, he did. And so I'm thinking, okay, no problem. So then we start looking at Pakistan, and the tickets are like $1,600 round trip. I mean, we're looking at, like, danger levels, and it's high up there, you know. It's like there's bombings and all kinds of crazy stuff going on in Karachi. And I'm thinking, where does Sam live? What Christian slums does he live in? Because it seems like Pakistan is out of control. There's no food. Everything's going downhill. But they also required us, if we end up being COVID positive, to stick around, and we didn't want that. So we were thinking, maybe we shouldn't go to Pakistan, bro. And out of nowhere, we just thought, well, what about the UAE? You know, Pastor Anderson said that Pastor Jimenez said no to the UAE, said no to Dubai and Abu Dhabi. And I don't know, last time I checked, those places are pretty cool. They're pretty nice. So he's like, hey, I think he's going to call Pastor Mejia next. So let me call Pastor really quickly before he gets to Pastor Mejia. So then we called Pastor Anderson, and was like, hey, Pastor, I've been looking up this Pakistan trip. It is pretty expensive. It's pretty dangerous. If you end up getting COVID, you're not leaving anytime soon. And we don't want to risk getting COVID. I guess it's still a big thing down there. You know, so if we end up getting it, we're stuck there. And not only that, we can't be in hotels because, you know, Sam wouldn't be able to come back and forth and pick us up. So we'd have to stay at his house in order to be able to do what we wanted to do down there. So then what Pastor Anderson said was like, okay, no problem. But we asked him, maybe since Pastor Jimenez said no to the UAE, you know, why don't we go since he said no? And, of course, he said no because he already had booked his life up for that time. And so Pastor's like, yeah, you know what, go ahead and go to the UAE. You know, so that's fine with us. So this sermon is not about me being in Pakistan, but I almost went there, amen? This is about another place that we went, and this other place that we went was Dubai. And if you don't know what the UAE is, let me just let you know a little bit about it. So the UAE is this country made up of seven states, or what they called Emirates. It's located in West Asia, in the Middle East. It's located at the eastern end of the Arabian Peninsula, and it shares a border with the country of Oman and Saudi Arabia. So the most popular states is Abu Dhabi and Dubai. Those are very, how can I put it, crazy places, but they're safe. The reason I say crazy is because they go nuts with the money that they have over there because of oil, and they have created some amazing buildings, and I'm sure you guys have probably seen YouTube videos of Dubai. Who knows what I'm talking about when I say Dubai? Who knows what I'm talking about when I say Abu Dhabi? And you probably already know those places are what they call the billionaire's playground. So we decided, you know what? The reason we want to go down there is not for the reasons you may think of. But we know that that is a Muslim country, so we want to make sure that we do everything as best we can so we don't make it go bad. So when they came to the UAE, this is obviously the two most popular states is Abu Dhabi and Dubai. The other remaining states, I'll just mention them, is Fujairah, Ras Al Khaimah, Sharjah, Al Ajman, Al Quwain. And as of 2023, the UAE, or the United Arab Emirates, you know, has an estimated population of just 9 million people. You know, and only about 11 to 12% of the population are actual Emiratis. They're actual citizens, so it's about a million of them. But this is the demographic, and then we'll kind of get into why we ended up going to Dubai. So the largest group of non-UAE nationals are South Asians, which is about 59%, and that includes Indians, you know, Bangladeshis, that's about 9.5%, Pakistanis about 9.4%, and then there's others at 2.3%. But it's also Egyptians down there, which is about 10% of the population. And this is the one that we wanted to focus on. Filipinos are about 6.1% of the population over in Dubai, over in the UAE. So the game plan wasn't necessarily to go down there to talk to the Muslims, and I'll explain why in a second, but it was more to go after the Filipino population. That was the main reason we decided to go down there. Why? Because the ticket to the Philippines, who knows what the average ticket is to the Philippines? It's about $1,200, $1,500. Can I get another number? No, I'm just kidding. They're about right. But to go to the UAE was about an average of $1,000, almost an average of $600 cheaper. And so not just that, what do we look for in regards to missions? We look for a place that's safe and they speak the language. And we also want to go somewhere receptive. So who's been to the Philippines on a missions trip? Receptive or not? Very receptive, right? Can anyone else agree? Very receptive, correct? From what I hear, it's been very receptive. So on paper, here's what's our game plan. We're going down there not for the Muslims, even though they're always in the back of my mind, always looking for opportunities. You know, we're going down there because the population that we're aiming to reach is the Filipino population, which is about over 600,000 that are from the Philippines. So we're thinking they're coming from the Philippines. Surely they must be receptive. So then that was the game plan, is to go down there, see if we can go down there and maybe end up having a missions trips down over in Dubai and just go towards the Filipino population. That was the game plan, so we decided to go for it, and so we did. So we ended up going down there, did as much research as I could, tried to figure out the best places or the places with the most Filipino population, which was an area called the Satwat area. And so they called it Little Manila. They're like, hey, Little Manila's over here in Dubai, so we're thinking, hey, let's just go get a hotel near Little Manila. We won't need vehicles. We just get out of the hotel, start walking around, and let's just go talk to people that are obviously non-Muslims, because when it comes to that country, it's not necessarily illegal to talk to Muslims, but they don't like it. They don't want to look bad on the world stage, so they don't make it illegal. They don't say it on paper, but when you're there, it can become an issue, and I'll talk about that in a second. So we ended up going to Dubai. That's where we went. Not Pakistan. I'm sure you're disappointed, but if you want to go to Pakistan, hey, I can send you there if you like. But we did go to Dubai, and so, of course, I don't know why I didn't think of this, you know, but we ended up booking it during Ramadan. And if you don't know what Ramadan is, that's their holy month. And so I'm thinking, oh, man, we kind of already asked for time off, and it is what it is, you know, it's too little, too late. But when we spoke about going to the UAE, we actually had people visit our church. Me and Pastor spoke at it on Tuesday, and we actually had people visit the church on a Sunday that were Filipino and they were from Dubai. And I don't think it was a coincidence. I think they were just there to help us out. So they didn't know what we were planning. So we ended up talking to them and they basically told us, do not go there during Ramadan. It's the worst time to go. But everything had already kind of been booked and already time off has been asked for Dustin at his job. So I said, you know what? We're just going to have to go and see how it is. And not just that, at least if we go during Ramadan, we can see how bad it is. And if people want to go down there, we'll just tell them, do not go during Ramadan. You know, so we ended up going to Dubai. We're in Dubai. It's during Ramadan. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? We'll just go to the Filipino places and we'll just start giving the gospel there. We'll just walk around and talk to people that are just sitting around like we usually do. But the problem is this. They don't mess around when it comes to Ramadan. That's the mistake that I made. When it comes to Ramadan, they don't want people eating outside at all. And so, of course, the Filipino population is down there to make money so they can send it to their families so they can take care of themselves. So they don't mess around with them either. They don't hang around parks. They're not anywhere to be found. You cannot find a single person. And I'm like, surely we'll find some in Little Manila. So we go to Little Manila, but Little Manila turned out to be Little Mecca. I don't know why I thought it was going to be like Chinatown in San Francisco. Who's ever been there? So I'm thinking I'm going to go to Chinatown version of Manila, because when you go to San Francisco, Chinatown has a lot of Chinese people. So I'm thinking, okay, it's probably, and not only that, the YouTube videos are like, oh yeah, you know, Little Manila is so great. I don't miss home because Little Manila has so many Filipinos. But nobody mentioned in these videos that for every Filipino that's there, there's like 10 Muslims around. So I'm like stuck, like, oh man, there's so many. I don't think we can get away with giving the gospel without people paying attention. You know, but if you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to Acts chapter number 1. Go ahead and go to Acts chapter number 1. So the only thing that I'm thinking at this point is like, you know what? Hey, let's just try to witness and do what we possibly can. You know, so we decided to just try to go to this park, try to go here, try to go there. Bottom line, hey, Ramadan, nobody messes around with Ramadan. Filipinos don't want to be out. Because if you're out, you can't have water, you can't have food. So if you're thinking of going to Dubai, do not go during Ramadan, okay? Learn from my mistakes. But the other thing as well is that I also was kind of glad that I was there, because Ramadan is supposed to be their most holy month, the month where the Muslims are the most pure, where they're the most holy, where they're the most righteous. So then I just decided to start just asking the drivers, because you know what it is, what it is. At this point, I don't see Filipinos around. I'm not really sure what's going on. I'm talking to Dustin like, yeah, I don't know if it's really illegal or not. I don't know what the issue is. I don't know if we can just start talking to everyone and hope for the best that nobody, you know, basically messes with us or reports us or whatever. But I also don't want to waste the church's money and get fined and just blow money for no reason. So just talking to Dustin, it's like, hey, well, let's just see how bad it is to just start walking up to Muslims and talking to them. So every single cab driver, we would just ask him, hey, listen, hey, where are you from? Oh, I'm from such and such. You know, I'm from India. I'm from Sri Lanka. Muslim? Yes, I am. Oh, you're fasting? Yeah. Oh, man, it's pretty rough, you know, working during Ramadan. He said, yeah, it is. Well, I just got a question for you, because I figure at this point, you know, we're desperate. We just want to talk to anyone, you know. We just want to talk to anyone and everyone. And I literally thought this was going to be the worst missions trip ever, where we're probably not going to get anyone saved, because it was becoming that big of an issue. But just asking the taxi drivers, hey, so if you die, where are you going to go? One after another. I don't know. Another one. Another taxi driver. Another Muslim. I don't know where I'm going. Another Muslim. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going. And I'm thinking, this is Ramadan. This is your most holy month. This is when you're supposed to be the most righteous, the most holy. And even during Ramadan, you don't even know if you're going to be in heaven or not. At least the Catholics, during whatever their holy month is, you know, they're all going to say, oh, yeah, right now I'm good. You know, I know if I die, I'm going to heaven regardless. You know, I'm going there because I've been cleaning up my life as, you know, their holy month version or whatever the Catholics believe in. I don't know, I haven't been a Catholic in who knows how long. You know, but if I were to do it all over again, obviously I will not go during Ramadan. You know, but lucky enough, the other reason why we went to the UAE is because we do have listeners from the UAE. You know, they do email us saying, hey, you know, we're listening to you from the UAE. So we're able to get a hold of some of them. And they told us, hey, we'll get together and we'll show you the ropes. So praise the Lord. They're already learning soul winning down there. And so what's what it was? We ended up just meeting up with them. And you can meet up with people, you know, because the thing is, they're not going to say that you can't meet up. In fact, let me just read something for you. You know, since the UAE's unification in 1971, the country has continued to welcome Christians from around the world. About 12.6% of the UAE's population practices Christianity. So there were some churches down there, but they're obviously Catholic church. There was one Baptist church down in Dubai, but guess what they believe? Repentance for salvation. And not the right repentance, the turn or burn type of salvation. You know, so we're not going to waste our time going to that place. You know, but it says that the UAE is now home to approximately 40 churches and roughly 700 ministries. But of course, they do have blasphemy laws, and this is where it got a little tricky. So I'm just going to read what it says in regards to their blasphemy laws. It says the law defines blasphemy as any act insulting God, religions, prophets, messengers, holy books, or houses of worship. The law does not directly prohibit Muslims from converting to other religions, but the penal code's blasphemy provision It says that it punishes behavior viewed as contemptuous of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad or offensive to Islamic teachings. It says the law provides for punishments of up to 5 years for preaching against Islam or proselytizing to Muslims. So we didn't want to be down there for 10 years. Dubai is cool, but it's not that cool, amen? It says up to 10 years for establishing an organization for the purpose of proselytizing. So yeah, they want you to come, they want you to set up churches, but they don't want you to convert their people. But when you talk to the taxi drivers, all of them say, no, no, it's totally fine. We're talking right now. You know, no big deal to talk about Jesus. So we were like, hey, what the heck do we believe? But then finally we got a hold of some brothers down there, and it was what it was. These guys just started out by living there, and because of the internet, praise the Lord, you know, they were able to come across Pastor Anderson. And of course, when you listen to Pastor Anderson, you do learn a lot. You do learn great doctrine. And so they were able to grow in many different ways. They grew in doctrine. They grew in soul winning as well. So one thing led to another. They just somehow started to just get a hold of each other and just hang out and talk about the Bible and talk about, obviously, what to do when it comes to witnessing. You know, so they had the same plan that we had, where it's like, hey, it's illegal to proselyte to Muslims, but we can at least talk to our own people. And they have, obviously, a population of Filipinos down there, and they do have a lot of places where they hang out. And this is where it finally started to get better. Because, yes, it was enjoyable looking at the buildings in Dubai. It was enjoyable to go to this place and that place. Dubai is overall a pretty cool place. But we weren't happy because people were not getting saved. But praise the Lord, once we got a hold of these guys, they're like, hey, what you need to do is go to the parks. And the parks are basically around these areas. And you have to go there at nighttime when Ramadan is over. So, hey, there's always hope no matter what. We can reach people and get people saved. So they're like, hey, why don't you just come with us? We'll go to the park, and then you can see exactly what we're talking about. Because, hey, this country doesn't care if you talk to other believers, if you talk to other non-Muslims. They don't really have a problem with that. But some people may, but overall they don't. So why don't we just go there and start talking to everyone? And so, of course, the main group we went there to talk to were Filipinos. You know why? Because, hey, they were in an area that would be considered hostile to the gospel. But they still did what the Bible tells you to do. And what does the Bible show you should do? You're right there in Acts chapter number 1. Now the story time is kind of over. Let's start looking at Scripture. Amen? Amen? So now we got Acts chapter number 6. And this is a time where you can kind of say, hey, this is similar to what you guys may be going to over here in Dubai. Because obviously it's kind of like a hostile area. So it says right there in Acts chapter number 1, verse 6. It says, and when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to him, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So what do we see here? We see that Christ is about to leave, and he's like, hey, you guys are going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, so if you have your Bible, just go to the next chapter, chapter number 2, and we can see what they started to do right away. So if you go to the next chapter, chapter number 2, verse 14, what do we see? You know, obviously, if you know about chapter 1, they're kind of there just getting together, and they're praying. But once they're done with that, in Acts chapter 2, we see Peter right away. What is he doing? Well, let's read. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. So right away, what is he doing? He starts to preach. He starts to give the gospel. So even though they're in an area that's not the best area, they're just getting a job done, or Peter's just starting out by just saying, hey, you guys need to listen to me, and he gives them the gospel. And they know this over there, you know, in Dubai. So the Christians that are down there, they listen to us. They're like, hey, we got to do something. Something's better than nothing. So even though they cannot go door to door, and they don't go door to door because that's a quick way to get yourself arrested and get yourself locked up and deported back to the Philippines, they're like, hey, let's just go where they're all at. Let's just go where our people are at, where the receptive people are hanging out. And that's usually the parks at nighttime. They go there to just spend time with their families. So we went with them, and it was something that I didn't experience before, where you got 6 people sitting here, 10 people sitting there, and they all want to hear the gospel, every single one of them, which is not a surprise. So just going there to saying, hey, you know what? What do you want us to do? Well, we just go up to the groups of people, and I'm like, man, they're kind of here eating. Is this something? Because I'm not used to this. I'm not used to just going at nighttime. I'm usually a daytime guy. We go door to door. So this was something new, where it was just another place where we went to get people saved. But I never had to go to a park and just go up to a group of 6 to 10 people, and they basically all said, yeah, go ahead and just tell us what you got. And I was able to just witness to them, and they were very receptive, like you would think. And so, of course, when it comes to even a Muslim country, there are opportunities that God does provide, but you have to be smart about it. Because I'm pretty sure if they were to know what we're up to, they wouldn't be too happy about it. But in reality, they don't really care as long as it's not Muslim. So, hey, you know what? Just start with what you know. Start with those people around you, which is what Peter is doing. He's just starting with those that are around him that already have kind of like a fundamental belief in regards to Christianity. And he starts preaching to them. You know, but if you have your Bible, you know, go ahead and go to Acts 1:13. Just go ahead and go to Acts 1:13. And of course, one of the first things that we see that God wants people to do, you know, Jesus Christ is a great example, is he just wants you to go out there and start preaching the gospel right away. And one example that I like is in Mark, you know, Mark 5, it talks about the guy that was in the tombs with the unclean spirit. Then in verse 18, I'm just going to read it really quickly. It says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not to go with him, or by saying something to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has compassion on thee. So we know about this guy from the tombs with an unclean spirit. You know, Jesus Christ cast out the spirit out of this man. He wants to join Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, no, I want you to go to your friends and tell them how great the Lord has been to you. Tell them how he has compassion on you. And you know what? When I got saved and I found myself in a Muslim country, you know, a year later, and I couldn't witness to the population, you know who I went after? I went after my friends in the military. Every single one of them, as best I could, as soon as I knew that, hey, these guys are interested, you know, in Christianity to some degree, I started just asking, hey, I know you are Catholic or I know you're whatever, you know, but if you die, where are you going to go? And they didn't know. And I would just tell them, hey, listen, the Bible says eternal life is a gift. I don't know where it's at. I don't have a Bible, but hey, I just wanted to tell you that. And of course, some of them agreed, some of them didn't, but at least I was doing my best to get them saved. And I started with my friends, I started with my coworkers, and I did all I could. And it's the same thing if you find yourself, and I guess this sermon is, yeah, talking about the Muslim world, but not necessarily relating just to Muslims or people in Muslim countries. It's kind of like if you find yourself in a country where it's just you. It's just pretty much you. Like, what do? You know, where do I even begin to just start serving the Lord? Well, if anybody's watching or listening from YouTube land, obviously if you have no one, then just start like this guy who had a devil taken out of him and just talk to your friends. You know, talk to those that are close to you. I know that we got Brother Adrian from Croatia. Hey, he doesn't really have anybody in Croatia to go soul winning with. He goes soul winning in Croatia and is not very receptive. But you know what? He was able to reach those closest to him, like his brothers, you know, by just going out and trying to get people saved. God just blessed him with the opportunity to witness to his close family, and he ended up getting them saved. And that's exciting, amen? And then that's kind of how you need to just be if you happen to find yourself in a country with no church. Obviously, I'm not talking about America, but you find yourself maybe in Dubai or whatever the case, and you happen to come across Pastor Anderson and you happen to get saved, then what's next? What do you do? Well, just start with those around you. Start with those that already have an interest in Christianity, and that's all we can do for now if you end up being in a country like Dubai or in some other country like Brother Sam in Pakistan. Because Brother Sam, his way of witnessing in Pakistan, like it says, the most Muslim country in the world, is he just goes to church and whatever opportunities he can find with people at his church, he tries to get in the gospel, and those around him, his friends and everyone that he knows, he tries to get them saved. And of course, his church is not like our church. His church is a little bit watered down, but he still understands that, hey, regardless, I need to grow, and praise the Lord for the internet so Sam, who's in Pakistan, can listen to Pastor Anderson and grow a little bit quicker. You know, so what can I really do or recommend for people to do if they happen to find themselves in a situation where they have no friends, no church? I mean, just from looking at scripture, you know, this is all I really see is that, hey, if you're saved and you happen to be in a country, especially a Muslim country, and you're saved, I mean, just start with those around you. And we see it because I told you to go to Acts chapter number 1. You know, that's one of the things that we see in verse 6. It says, and when they, therefore, were come together, you know, they asked of him, Lord, saying, you know, will you restore Israel? And of course, he told him, hey, it's not for you to know, but he wants you to be witnesses. So we already saw that he wants us to just go out there. But another thing that I highly will recommend to anyone who's listening in another country that is hostile, or if you're listening in a Muslim country, and I can't help but think that we do have Christians in all these Muslim countries, because that's what the Bible says, that there's going to be people of all nations. And I'm on the live stream sometimes just there because I'm going to back and we're doing the money count, and we're just listening to the preaching, but we sometimes see the comments, and there's people that are saying, hey, you know, how's everyone? You know, I'm from Saudi Arabia. So So we got people in Saudi Arabia that listen. I don't know who that person is, but he seems to be commenting. And he always says, hey, hi, everyone, listening from Saudi Arabia. So I don't know what church he's going to in Saudi Arabia, but this sermon is more geared to individuals like him that may not have people like us to rely on. And this is what they have as their primary way to grow. But they still need to go, amen? They still need to figure out how they can get someone saved, whether it's their close friends. And obviously be smart about it, you know, because that's all you can really do. And even the Bible tells you to be careful talking to people that are going to waste your time. The Bible says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. So if someone's not interested, out even in this country, we just move on. We just go find somebody that is interested. You know, so it's no different in other countries. Now, it's more dangerous in other countries. You know, sometimes we're here, and if somebody obviously is Muslim, we kind of want to just push Christianity down their throat because we want them to know the truth. But you know what? Other people don't have that luxury because they do live in a hostile country where if you end up doing that, you know, you could cause yourself some unnecessary harm. But the Bible doesn't even tell us to talk to everyone. It talks about talking to those that have ears to hear, because if we talk to people and they're not interested, they're going to despise the wisdom of our words. So we just need to treat everyone, you know, the same way no matter what country you are. If they're not interested, they're not interested. If they can let you give them one verse, just give them one verse. And just do your best to witness no matter where you're at. The person that listens from Saudi Arabia, I don't know how he's doing soul winning. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. But at the end of the day, you do have to do some soul winning. So hopefully God will bless you with the wisdom you need to succeed. And just look at the scriptures and realize that, yeah, it can get ugly and we're about to see. So let me just quickly finish with the sermon. So obviously one thing we all need to do, regardless of where you live, whether you live in a country that's like Pakistan or you live in a country like America, we all know based on Acts 1 that God wants us to be witnesses all over the place. Amen. The second thing that I obviously am going to recommend is that, hey, listen, just do what they're doing in the book of Acts. Go ahead and go to Acts 13. So the other thing as well, if you find yourself in a country like Pakistan or a country where you're not allowed to be a Christian like you are here in America, then what I would do if I were you, I would get serious about prayer, and I would get serious about prayer real quick. Because if you live in a Muslim country, it can get ugly for you real quick. And what you're going to need is you're going to need God's protection, and you have not because you ask not. Amen? Amen. And we see that in Acts 1:13. I'll quickly go through these verses because I know I'm running out of time. It says, and when they were come, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continue one accord in what? Prayer. Prayer and what? Supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And that's a good idea if you're in a hostile environment like they were. Amen? Go to Acts 3:1. And of course, Jesus said in John 15:5, go ahead and go to Acts 3:1. I'll just read from John 15:5, one of my favorite verses. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. But I know there's a catch. Matthew 21:22 says this, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So if I found myself getting saved and I found myself in a Muslim country, obviously if you read the book of Acts, you're going to see that God wants us to be witnesses all over the world. And besides witnessing, yes, you better look at the scriptures and realize what they were doing. They were getting into prayer and they were getting serious about prayer because they were in an area that was dangerous. They were in an area that was hostile to what they were doing. And that's similar to what people are doing in these Muslim countries. You know, I'm talking about Christians, is that they have to be careful and rely heavily on God more than we usually do here. You know, so I try to be in the habit of prayer. I try to always seek the Lord. You know, I try to pray every single day. But sometimes things get in the way until bad things happen. And I don't want to wait until bad things happen for me to have a prayer life where God is pleased with it. But you know what? People that are in other countries that's more dangerous, they need to basically focus on this a whole lot more than probably us. Amen? But another thing, if you're right there in Acts 3:1, another thing that's simple, but it can help, you know, people that are in these Muslim countries is just try to look for any opportunities, even the littlest opportunities. And what do I mean by that? Look what happened to Peter right here in Acts 3:1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give, such as I have, give ID in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this is one thing that I found, and I even found this last night, is that there's going to be poor people all over the place. There's going to be people like this individual all over the place that are going to come to you and just look at those opportunities. I mean, this story is in the book of Acts for a reason. And even when we weren't having success, you know, we have people over there in Dubai. We had a Muslim man come up to us just asking us for money because he had a wound. He had some kind of surgery, and he couldn't work. So he comes up to me asking for money. And guess what? I didn't have any because I honestly did not have any money. But silver and gold, I had none. But what did I have? Exactly right. So at this point, it's like, hey, he's coming to me. So the best thing I could do is just tell the man, hey, listen, I don't have money, but why don't I just pray for you right now that that'll heal up? You know, why don't I just pray for you right now? Would that be okay? And he was, no, I really need money. I really need money. And I said, well, listen, I don't have money, but also more important than money is what? Going to heaven. So, hey, this happens in Mexico. This happens all over the place. This is in the book of Acts for a reason. So what am I doing? I'm just going over a few things that I see in the book of Acts that can help you no matter what country you're in, because these are the things that are expected of us. So even Mexico can get a little dangerous if you're in an area that's too Catholic. You know, but at the end of the day, hey, these are the things that they did, and we should kind of learn from what they're doing. And so we saw that, yes, they went and they were witnesses. Peter got up in Acts chapter 2, started preaching right away. They're all getting together and they're praying. And not just that, hey, they see this man who's asking alms, and what is he doing? Silver and gold have I none. So they're using every little opportunity they can to try to preach the gospel and get people saved. Brother Sean Jolly is in here somewhere. I don't know where he's at right now. But one of the memories I have with Sean Jolly is when we were in Mexico. And you probably remember this story. We were at this restaurant, and this lady comes up to Sean. And guess what she wants? She's like, hey, I'm poor and I need some money. Remember that? We're at this restaurant eating in Mexico. It was the first missions trip we ever did. And this lady comes up to you, and I see you talking to this lady. And I'm sure you were doing the exact same thing they're doing here, because afterwards she just walked away. And you're just telling us what happened. And we're like, yo, what was that? Oh, she needed money for whatever reason. You remember that story? And what did you say? You quoted this scripture. You're like, hey, lady, I don't have money to give. Silver and gold have I none. You know, but hey, what did you tell her? Hey, more important than money is going to heaven. So you were taking the opportunities that they're taking here in the book of Acts as well. Amen. So that's the one thing that I wanted to just talk to people about that are in these countries. You just got to do some soul winning. You got to do whatever you can. Just like the guy who had the devil taken out of him. He started with his friends. Jesus says, hey, you know what? You're all alone now. You're all by yourself. You know, go talk to your friends. Go talk to everyone you can. And obviously we see the apostles praying. So that's the other thing I wanted to point out. And, of course, you see in Acts 3, just the littlest opportunity that people may just skip out on. You know, hey, here at Faithful Word, I think we're more alert to this than probably other Christians that try to be lovey-dovey. Because I see here, even when we know that this person just wants money, we try to get them saved. This happened last night. Who saw this guy hanging out in the parking lot last night? Gigi knows what's up. This guy's in the parking lot. As soon as they get out of the vehicle, he's like, yo, hey, I'm a Christian. Can I talk to you really quickly? I'm like, man, I got to get in there, set up the live stream. I got like 5 minutes, but come in here. We can talk after the services. Come in. Don't worry about it. Just sit down wherever. And he didn't. And then I guess he went after Brother Ball, the young Ball, and he wouldn't let him leave the parking lot. You know, so of course, hey, this guy's asking for money, but what are we trying to do? We're trying to get the guy saved. Amen. At the end, what does he do? He just ends up saying, no, I just want money. Forget you guys, and he left. You know, well, these people are all over the place. You have the poor always, right? But, hey, don't just, like, paint them Don't just all assume they're all like that because, hey, once in a while you'll get the one person that is interested in salvation, amen? And so that's the person that will get saved. You know, so think about the littlest opportunities because sometimes we want to do a lot, but not everyone can do a lot because you do live in a hostile country like Pakistan. You can't do a lot, but do what you can. Amen. Everybody can pray. Everybody can talk to their friends. I mean, are your friends really going to turn you in if you're in Pakistan to get you locked up and thrown away, you know? So I'm thinking like, hey, I don't know what to tell people except for that. You know, but go ahead and go to Acts chapter number 4. And I'll just quickly go through these. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about is, yeah, you know what? If you're in these countries that are just hostile towards you and you can't run free like us here, you know, preaching Christianity, you know, besides obviously what I already talked about, hey, you just got to go. You got to do something. Figure it out. You know, just because you're in a hostile country like Pakistan, you got to do something. You know, it's like, hey, if you don't know what to do, you got to get into prayer. You got to become a good prayer warrior. You also have to look for opportunities. But the other thing is, You know, you see it all over the book of Acts. You just got to prepare yourself for persecution because it's bigger in these countries than everywhere else. Now, you would think that a country that says, hey, you know what, come visit us. You know, we want you to come check us out. Come check out Dubai. Come check out this. Come check out that. They surely wouldn't really care if you're just witnessing to other people that are Catholic or whatever the case may be. But, hey, it got real for these guys that were down there at one point because that's all they were doing. They were going to parks, just talking to other Filipinos because they're very receptive, trying to get them saved. And there was a guy who just did not like it. He just did not like it. And so he ends up interrupting them. It's like, hey, what are you guys doing at this park? And it's like, oh, we're just talking. What are you guys talking about? Oh, we're just talking about a faith. What faith is this? Oh, we're talking about Christianity. Oh, well, you're not allowed to do that. He's like, to my knowledge, we are. He's like, okay, well, let's see what the police think. So right away, what are they doing? They're trying to get them to stop. And sure enough, what is he going to do? Call the police. For what reason? Just to get him to stop, just because he doesn't like what he's hearing. And he's not even talking to another Muslim. He's just talking to a guy who's Catholic. Sorry about that. This is the Holy Spirit telling me to wrap it up. Amen? But that's one thing that, hey, if you just read the book of Acts, one word comes to mind a lot, and that's persecution. You see it just about everywhere. Let's just take a look at a few verses, and then we'll end up finishing the sermon. So we see right there in Acts chapter number 4, it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached to Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead, and they lay hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Now, even though this is talking about Jewish people, it's the attitude with false religion all over the place. You know, if you're saying something that goes against what they believe, they're going to be all over you. So for my people over in these countries, all over these countries that have to deal with Islam, you just got to realize that this is something that's real serious in your country. Hopefully you can pray and God can move you to America, become part of Faithful Word, and live happily ever after. Amen? But that's not the case. God has you in Pakistan, Sam, for a reason. And since you can't leave, you might as well start doing the best you can. And you already know that persecution is real, and you don't have to read the Bible much to figure it out, especially in the book of Acts. Amen? You know, but of course, what are they to do? Well, I'll just read from Matthew 10:23. And when they persecute you in the city, flee ye into another, for verily I say unto you, shall have not gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man has come. And Sam did get persecuted and he did flee. He fled to Thailand, but guess what? They didn't get him asylum, they sent him back. So he's back in Pakistan, but he's doing good, amen? You know, so I'll just wrap it up with this. What can these guys really, really do? You know, at the end, all you can do is just try your best to get the people around you saved. You know, if it's that heavy where you're going to go out there in the parks and they're going to persecute you, the Muslims are not going to like you, they're just going to come down you, try to arrest you, try to deport you, whatever the case may be, then just be as smart as you possibly can. Because do you think that that stopped them from continuing to go soul winning? No, it didn't. You know, they're just saying, hey, maybe this one guy just had some issue, but at the end of the day, we have to go out. So they do make it an issue where they go out, even in a Muslim country, at least once a week to be able to get people saved. And of course, they're being smart about it. They're being wise about it. You know, they're like, hey, let's just stick to witnessing the Filipinos. And if you happen to take a cab and the cab driver happens to ask you where you're from, what are you doing here? Hey, he started it, amen? So you finish it. I'm from America. I'm a missionary from Faithful Word Baptist Church. We're out here just visiting Dubai. Hey, you Muslim? Yes. Well, if you die, where are you going? I don't know. Well, listen, this is what the Bible says. And what is he going to do? Tell you to get out the cab? No, he's not. Because he wants a tip. So he's going to listen. But I guess if I can just have you guys remember one thing, if there's anybody from a Muslim country that's listening, I don't know if Sam's even listening right now or if he's ever going to listen to this, but if you can remember just one thing, if you look at the book of Acts, just one thing and one thing alone, it's simply this. If you're there out there trying to get people saved, praying, you know, and if you're out there just doing every little thing to get, you know, take advantage of every little opportunity that God gives you, and not just that, you know, you're going through the persecution, we all know how it all ends for the Apostle Paul, and it's going to end for you, and it's going to end for me the same way. We stay faithful, we endure to the end. Guess what? There's always a happy ending, no matter how ugly it gets. Amen. How ugly did it get for the Apostle Paul? He was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was cold, he was hungry, he was miserable, he was persecuted from place to place, left for dead after he was stoned. It didn't go pretty at all times, but the end result was what? A happy ending. And hopefully none of you guys get stoned. I wouldn't want any of you guys to get stoned. Hopefully you don't get shipwrecked. You know, but we all know that you got to stay with it no matter where you are in this world. Muslim country or not, you just got to stay with it. You know, whatever little you can do. And just keep reminding yourself, you know what? I'm just going to go through it no matter how bad it gets, because there is a happy ending for you. How do we know? We're right here. Right there in Acts, right? Go to Acts 28, 29. Because after all the suffering, all the pain, everything that happened to the Apostle Paul, this is how it ends in the book of Acts in chapter 28, verse 29. So while you guys are going there, I'll just read from Psalm 16. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I like that part. Pleasures, happiness, forevermore. But you're right there in Acts 28. We saw how much, if you read the book of Acts, you'll see how much the Apostle Paul went through, a lot of persecution. I mean, he's running, he's fleeing. They're taking him down a basket to escape death. Many times they plotted to kill him because that's the next step. First they try to shut you off, they threaten you. That doesn't work. Then they're like, hey, you know what, let's figure out how to kill this person. It's just how it is. And it's more serious than other countries that are not Christian nations. But right here simply says this, and when verse 29, and when he has said these words, the Jews departed in a great reason among themselves, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And at the end of it all, he wins. Amen? Amen. He wins. So I just want to remind everybody here, if you remember anything, just stay with it, stay with Christianity, no matter where you're at, no matter where you live, Muslim, non-Muslim country, Christian nation, whatever the case, you stay with it, and guess what? At the end of the day, hey, no one's going to forbid you. You will win. There will be a happy ending for you. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for all that you've done, Lord, and I can't thank you enough for all the opportunities that you've given all the members here at Faithful Word to preach your word all over the world. And Lord, I just want to thank you for the leadership of Pastor Anderson, the leader of these pastors in the NIFB, because they understand missions very well. They all try to go to all over, you know, different places all over the world and be a blessing to those that may not be able to get the gospel straight to them. And so, Lord, I just ask you to bless this group here and bless the next preachers that are going to preach this week. And we ask you to do all this for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.